We have two parts to this. The first one is this session, and the next part is the next session, okay? There's not a lot of writing, and I have, I believe, all the scripture in there. I've whittled it down to front and back just to highlight it. But we're going to look at the two, what I call, picture practices that Jesus gave for us today. So let's pray, and then I'll introduce it, and then we'll get into it, okay? Thank you, Lord. We can understand that as we read your word, we can behold you. We behold you on the throne as we understand that you are ruling, you are reigning, and Jesus is at your right hand. And Lord, this is the beginning of the end. Jesus has accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished, as prophecy dictated and as certainly our need dictated. And Lord, now we just to wait for the Lord Jesus to return. But in the meantime, we are meant to go and make disciples. And part of that is to teach them to observe all things. One of those things is to be baptized. And another of those things is to observe communion. And we're going to look at both of those this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our understanding and increase our desire to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God, throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning of time onward, used pictures and ways to teach and to remind and to emphasize. You could probably even say that even in the Garden of Eden, a picture was used. Remember, God commanded Adam, when Adam was created, even before Eve was created on day six, he said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. The buffet is before you. But there's one tree that you cannot eat from, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know if there was anything significant about the tree. It's not really described or whatever, but if you eat of this tree, it's a symbol, certainly, of disobedience. It's a symbol of choice. After Adam and Eve fell, God gave them another symbol. He clothed them with the skins of animals. Right? They had made fig leaves, and he says, no, that's the wrong picture. You need clothing that requires the shedding of blood. It's a picture. You can go to the picture of the rainbow, right? The rainbow is intended to remind us of God's promise that he would never flood the world completely again. But also probably a reminder that he did, right? It's a historical fact. You get into the Israelites, even before Israel, but God did another picture. They had a strange thing in the Old Testament. When they made a covenant, they would literally cut animals in half and lay them out. And then the people making the covenant would walk between them. And it's basically saying, this is an unconditional covenant, and if you break the covenant, may you be like these animals. It's interesting, though, but God had Abraham do this picture, but he did not have Abraham walk through between them. Only God did. Kind of an obscure thing. We don't remember that picture as much, but God's saying this is a one-sided, unconditional covenant. I will keep this with you forever. We believe that God will fulfill his promises to Abraham in multiple ways, but one is that he has physical descendants that will take possession of land beyond Israel even. But that was a picture. It's a picture. Of course, we are familiar more with the pictures under the law, the different things they had to do, but they would sacrifice a lamb, and the lamb had to be what? Had to be without blemish. Had to be a perfect lamb. That's a picture. What did the lamb do When they sacrificed the lamb, what did it do? Really nothing, right? The Bible teaches us that the blood of lambs and goats doesn't do anything. It serves as a what? A picture of what was to come when Jesus shows up and John the Baptist, the baptizer, sees Jesus come to him and he says, "Behold," he applies the picture and he says, "This is the Lamb of God," which actually really takes away the sin of the world. Right? He's the real deal. He's not the picture. He applies the picture to Jesus. We get into the New Testament. After Jesus died, or before Jesus died, he instituted one picture, and the other he commanded afterwards to observe another. But the pictures are there for a purpose. They're there to remind us and to help us understand truths and to bring us to decision about truths. Okay? So here they are. The two picture practices Jesus gave us for today are baptism. That's what we're going to talk about in the first session. And I thought, well, we could talk about communion in the second session since we're having communion in the second session. Okay, so let's look at your notes there. And I have two words that you need to be familiar with. Sacrament. How many have heard the word sacrament before? And you'll hear that a lot in different arenas. And then there's the word ordinance. Now, just as a subtle warning, if you leave the I out, it becomes ordinance. And Jonathan, yeah, at least he'll tell you that those are explosives, right? That's, we're talking about ordinance. We hear a little bit the city ordinance that says you can't park on this side of the road. It's a law, right? That's what an ordinance is. But let's look at the two terms. We understand baptism and communion to be ordinances, not sacraments. And people will say they observe the sacraments. And it's like, that's because they believe something about them. So let's look at the two terms briefly. Sacrament means a religious act which relays grace on those who receive it. A sacrament, if I could use one word, I suppose that there's some kind of power associated with a sacrament. If you take the wafer, there's some kind of power transmitted to you in some way. Or we call it grace here, but God gives you something mystical that goes with that. You do a sacrament. When you say sacrament, you do a sacrament to get something from God, either for salvation or for spiritual growth, or you can even say to be in and maintain a right standing. The Catholic Church would say you need to receive the sacrament of communion to stay in a right relationship with God. And there's a lot to that. We'll highlight just a little bit later on. But a sacrament, one of the motivations for baptizing babies is because they believe it's a sacrament that you need to be baptized in order to be what? Saved. You have to do that to get something. You got to check that box off to get affirmation from God so that you can go to heaven. So you get baptized as soon as you possibly can as a baby. Right? That's the thinking. It's wrong thinking. It's not what the Bible teaches. But that shows you why they do that. Now, an ordinance is simply a command or an order. That makes sense. Again, a city ordinance. It's a law or something that you're told to do or not to do. You do an ordinance to obey God, right? A speed limit is an ordinance. So you drive the speed limit, not because you get anything from it, but because you're abiding by the ordinance. The benefit of obeying these ordinances that don't relay any kind of power or grace is the declaration or the reminder, not from the act itself. You don't get anything from the cracker or juice. You certainly don't get filled up. When you get baptized, you get wet. But it's a picture. There's not something magical or mystical that happens to you. It's a statement you're making. It's a picture you're portraying that Jesus says we're to do. So let's look at picture number one. And this is what's in your notes here. And this is baptism. All right, picture number one. And again, we're covering baptism as a topic. We did 2 weeks ago, we introduced the words bapto, baptizo, baptisma. Remember those words? They're transliterated. They mean to dip or to immerse. Now we're looking at a little more of what baptism means and why we're baptized, okay? So letter A here, let's go in a little more detail. What baptism won't do for me. And number one here is baptism, and notice I put won't. I want you to understand that these are not true, right? Baptism will not do this for you. Baptism won't help me get saved. It won't take away my sins. It won't make me right with God or won't get me to heaven. Baptism won't help you do any of that. All right? Mark 16, and these are in your notes here. Believe and be baptized, Mark says. So it's a little bit confusing. We talked about this recently again. It says, believe and be baptized and you will be saved. But it says, and he who does not believe is condemned. So the condemnation comes from not believing, right? Acts 2:38, Peter preaching said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the idea of remission says on account of the remission of sins. Right? You're baptized because your sins have been remitted or forgiven, not so that they will be. All right? Understand that. We'll get into that more another time. Paul, interestingly enough, says in 1 Corinthians 1 that he was glad he did not baptize more people than he did. If baptism was essential for salvation, that's not a logical statement. And we mentioned 2 weeks ago, Jesus didn't baptize at all, but who did the baptizing? The apostles did, right? John baptized, but then Jesus and his apostles baptized, right? A different gospel, right? Prepare the way of the Lord is one gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand was Jesus' gospel. The Israel rejected, but they were baptized then as well. Those that responded to that. But the Bible says Jesus didn't baptize, but his disciples did. That seems a little backwards if baptism is essential for salvation. The second thing we state here, number two under there, is baptism won't give me some mystical blessing from God. I always felt a little disappointed growing up, and I'm just being honest. You thought some magic would happen when you got baptized or something. I tell you what, depending on the baptistry, the magic is that you stayed alive because that water was so cold. That was the only thing you come up. So now we have heaters and we have warmer water and all that, so it's not so bad. But there's no magic or mystical happening when it happens. There's no transformation or transaction going on when you're being baptized. Baptism is a what? It's a picture. All right? So, if it doesn't save me, take away my sins, make me right with God, or get me to heaven, and nothing magic or mystical happens when I get baptized, why in the world would I get baptized? Well, there's quite a few reasons, actually. I'll give you five. And I give you verses to relate to this. But the first one would go with a lot of things. Even though we don't understand everything that God teaches us. I certainly don't. But many times it's clear that He wants us to do something, so we do it. Just because we don't understand it doesn't give us the right not to do it, right? We're to be baptized because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. So we are to obey Jesus' command to do so. I was baptized at the age of 9. And I did not understand what baptism was all about. I knew that it was something a believer did. And I knew that to be obedient to Jesus, I needed to be baptized. That was the theology I had. And it was good theology. There's more to baptism, as I'll explain here shortly. But that's enough to understand that Jesus commanded me to be baptized. Here I am. Right? That's an obedient attitude. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Reason number one is Jesus commanded you to be baptized. Let's look at the primary verse here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Disciples are followers, or you can even say believers. Disciple is first begins by believing who Jesus is and what he's done. But make disciples, followers of all nations. And what do you do with those followers? What's part of the process of making disciples? You're baptizing them. See, Jesus commanded us to do this. That's part of becoming a follower of Jesus. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized because Jesus told you you needed to be baptized. Now, I'm happy to say that there's more to baptism than just do it because you're told to do it. But that's reason enough. Right? Because even if you don't understand it, if you understand that Jesus says to do it, then you need to do it. That's all I understood when I was 9, was that Jesus expected me as a believer to obey him by being baptized. And I did that. And I lived through it. Right. Okay? It wasn't so bad after all. And I was happy I did it. Even though I was a young adult before I really understood the whole picture of baptism. And there's multiple layers to this. So let's look at number two here. Number two, I think, relays one of the primary reasons why believers are to be baptized, why you and I as believers are to be baptized. It's to show others my belief in Jesus Christ as my what? Savior. It's making a public statement saying, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. You may have grown up this way, you may not have, but I grew up in a time when there was a big emphasis on coming down the aisle. It goes back to the revivalist times of Charles Finney and D.L. Moody and all of them. You don't really see any of that in Scripture at all. But one of the things that they would ask you to come down the aisle about was, you know, to make public your salvation, or you came down the aisle to tell the pastor that you wanted to be baptized. It was some kind of public declaration that you're saved and now you want to be baptized. I think we've complicated things in the church because that's exactly what the baptism is supposed to be doing. It was so hard to go down that aisle. And that really wasn't a requirement. That's the baptism. When people come and say, hey, I want to be baptized, that's okay. I don't make you stand up in front of everybody or whatever. Some of us are deathly afraid of standing up in front of people. Now, I'm saying you shouldn't let that hinder you from interacting with saints, and certainly don't let it hinder you from being baptized. But the baptism is a picture of your statement of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it serves. Romans 6:3 says this in your notes. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now I know it's a little confusing. It's introducing a different kind of baptism here. This is what baptism pictures. When you're saved, you are baptized. What does it say in Romans 6:3 here? Not into water, what? You're baptized into Christ Jesus and therefore baptized into his death. Right? When you're saved, you become part of Jesus and therefore his death counts for you. You're placed into the body of Christ. And therefore, because Christ has already died, guess what? you have already died. It even goes on to say that you've already risen in a sense. You are to walk in newness of life. But baptism is picturing the fact that you died with Jesus. You're saying His death counts for me. It's a picture. That's why we don't baptize by sprinkling water. Number one, that isn't what baptism is, right? It's a dip or immerse, right? But it's like it ruins the picture. It's an idea of dying. You're placing someone in the ground. But guess what? Very few people have been held underwater. Right? They come back up. They're raised. And you're saying, this is the theological picture, that I'm with Christ, so therefore I've died with Him and I've risen with Him. I believe what He has done for me, and since I am part of Jesus now, what happened with Jesus is true for me. That's what baptism pictures. Is it wrong to get baptized simply because I'm supposed to? No, I don't think so. But I think it's meant to be more. That's why we're not quick to baptize children. Because they might miss the significance of it. And it says more than just I'm obedient. There's more to it than that. And if you miss the picture and the meaning of the picture, I think it diminishes baptism. It doesn't not count. I'm not saying that. I wish I had understood a little better when I was 9 what this was all about. But it's saying I'm with Him. I'm with Jesus. I believe in Jesus, and therefore He's my sin bearer. Therefore, I died with Him and I've risen with Him. I'm with Him. I'm part of Him now. Notice Colossians 2:12. It's still talking about the spiritual thing that water baptism pictures. It says, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. It's relating to your salvation. That's true whether you're baptized or not. Water baptism pictures the truth of the fact that you've been placed into the body of Christ. Notice I have Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 38, and there's no verses behind it. Flip your sheet over and you'll find those verses. It's under number 4. It's the third one down. I just didn't want to list it twice. Notice here it says in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 38, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. This is the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, who was a deacon, but he was also an evangelizer. Right? They came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. Philip was explaining Isaiah 53 to the eunuch. What does this mean? The eunuch says, right? And Philip explained to him Jesus. And apparently part of the conversation was baptism. Because he says, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? What keeps me from being what? What's another word for baptism? Immersed. Here's water. If it was sprinkling or something, he said, here's my canteen, right? Here's water. They came along some water, okay? And the eunuch said, here is water. What keeps me or what hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said what? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down. What? into the water. I'm just emphasizing some things here, right? Into the water, and he immersed him. He baptized him, right? So, it shows others my belief. It's a declaration of my belief that Jesus is my Savior. It might be before one other person. Who knows who was going up and down the road to that day? But it's a statement even before Philip. I'm in. I'm with Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that you talked about, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I believe. Therefore, I want to picture that I'm in. Okay? It doesn't make you saved. It pictures the salvation you have in Jesus Christ. Flip back over now to number 3. Why should I be baptized? Well, the first one is to obey Jesus' command to do so. He told me to do so, so that's reason enough. But there's reasons why he told us to do so. It lets other people know. It's a declaration of your belief that Jesus is your Savior. But listen, this is one I did not get when I was younger. And I'm guessing most of you did not either. I'll be that brash or bold to say this. But in saying that I'm with Jesus, it's also declaring to others my commitment to Jesus as my master. It's not just looking back at your belief. It's looking at your present and your future in your ongoing belief and your ongoing behavior. Because I died and rose again, I am telling everyone that you can expect me to walk as a believer in Jesus. Remember, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Yeah, not to know, to observe. Another word for observe is what? It's simpler. To do what I've commanded them. When you're baptized, you're saying, I'm letting everybody know I'm a follower of Jesus, and you can hold me to that, and you can expect that from me. It's a testimony of intention as well as salvation. Does that make sense? I'm getting baptized to let you know I believed in Jesus, and I've died with Him, and I've risen with Him, and guess what? That makes a difference in the way I live going forward. Baptism screams that out. I'm new. I'm different because of my belief in Jesus. Romans 6, 1 through 4, and you could read all 23 verses of Romans 6, but we'll limit ourselves to 4 here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, notice this, died to sin? That's past tense. How did we die to sin? Everyone here is still alive. Look up so I know you're still alive. Okay, otherwise we'll call the emergency room. It says we died. That's past tense. Miriam, you still alive? She moved. That's a good sign. But it says here, if you believed, you died. How did you die? When you were saved, when you believed on Jesus, you died. Remember, not at baptism, that's what? What's baptism? It's a picture of what happened. Paul is saying, this is true. If you're a believer, you have died to sin. Past tense. How shall we who died, past tense to sin, be living any longer in it? Because Jesus saved you and you are free from the bondage of sin. That's what the Bible teaches. Romans 6 is all about this, and it's not the only place, but it's certainly probably the most thorough place. Or do you not know that it's many of us who were baptized, notice, into where? Christ. Does it say Christ? Christ Jesus. Not water. We're not talking water baptism, because that doesn't do you. Water baptism pictures you being baptized into Jesus. But as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, when does that happen? When you're saved, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're passed from death to life. He who believes in Him is not condemned, right? He who believes not is condemned already. That's the focal point. That's when you've been baptized. Even though you don't fully understand it when you're saved, Paul is explaining here, that's what really happened. That's how you are saved. Because you're placed into Jesus Christ, and therefore it's you've been paid for. Because Jesus has already died. And so you've already died. You're completely free of sin, guilt, because Jesus has paid for it. And by the way, you have His righteousness too. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ at salvation were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, underline that part of the sentence, or even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is picturing a new life going forward. When you make that statement, I'm a follower of Jesus, it's not just saying, like the old days, I asked Jesus into my heart, and it's like, well, I don't know what that does for you. But I do know that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, you are saved. But it's also making a statement, and again, understand that this is why I'm slow to encourage kids to be baptized, because I want them to understand this. When you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, it isn't just a standing. You know, hey, you can count me in, I'm one of those believers. It's saying, I'm also one of those behaviors. He's my master. Things have changed, and therefore I don't have to serve sin anymore because I've been freed from sin. Now, that doesn't mean I don't sin. But my intention, my walk with God is in a direction where when I see sin, I acknowledge it. And I, as God gives me grace, I abandon sin's hold on me. Which, by the way, is broken. Right? Romans 6 teaches us that we've been freed from the law of sin and death. And that we are to not use our instruments, our body, as instruments of unrighteousness, but we're to use our body as instruments of righteousness to God. You are saying when you're baptized, yes, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. I died with Him and I rose again. But listen, because of that, I can live differently. And I will live differently. You're making a bold statement. I didn't get that when I was baptized when I was 9. I didn't understand this until I was in my early 20s. So if you're younger than your early 20s, you got a big head start on you over me. But baptism is saying, I will follow Him. I am a follower, not just a believer. I'm a behavior. I will do what Jesus calls me to do. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is a visible, I'm walking around. They were first called what at Antioch? Christians. They live like little Christs in their conduct. Christians were known in the Roman Empire as loving, caring, even sacrificing people. That was unlike the Roman people. 1 Peter 3:21, it's a little harder passage, but there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. And notice here, it clarifies it. Peter clarifies it, but he says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. Baptism doesn't wash you clean, as some people teach. But the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, water baptism, is a declaration of what has happened in the Lord Jesus and what will happen in my conduct going forward. It's not just an event. It's a declaration of your belief, but it's also a declaration of your obedience going forward. And I would say the majority of Baptists do not understand that at all. We just do the obedience part. Obey God and baptism. And that's what I heard. And again, that is not wrong. It is just not the whole story. It's incomplete. And if you were baptized like I was, out of obedience, praise the Lord. But understand, baptism, your salvation is intended to lead to your sanctification, your obedience and becoming pure before God. It isn't just something you check off the list. It's putting... I've never watched any part of the NFL draft till this. Daniel's getting me infected. And he knows way more about it than I do. But these guys are sitting here and they're worried, right? And maybe anxious and wondering. But then somebody makes an arrangement, makes the deal, and they get to put on the jersey of that team. That's not the end. At least that's not what the team is thinking. In fact, I don't even remember. I don't, like I said, follow it well enough. But one guy said, oh, this is, I can't wait to get out and do the job. And it's like, that's exactly right. This is like, baptism is like a jersey saying, I'm on the team. And you can expect me to show up to practice and to function as a team member. That's what baptism is about. I tell you what, if these guys get drafted and they don't come to practice, they don't work hard or whatever, it's like you missed the point of being on the team. You're still on the team. And in football, you won't be on the team very long if you're not performing. But God gives us rewards. God says this is what you're here for, is to obey Him. Okay, flip your sheet over if you would. Let's do two more here. One of the reasons we believe we're to baptize is you see it all the way through the early church. So we're echoing what the early church did. They understood Jesus to say, be baptizing followers. Be baptizing disciples. And then be teaching them, right? So number four is to follow the example of believers since the church's beginning. That hasn't really changed. Even through the Dark Ages and into the Reformation, Baptists technically are not reformers. Did you know that? Baptists weren't part of the Reformation. They were actually a separate group. And in fact, the Reformers would persecute the baptizers. They were known as the Anabaptists because the founder's name was Anna. No, Anna means to do it again. So they baptized again. What were they thinking? That was, by the way, what the critics criticized them as, kind of like Yankees in the Civil War, right? The North was those Yankees, you know. Well, they were called Anabaptizers, Anabaptists. But they would have said, no, that thing that happened when you were a baby wasn't really baptism at all. We're baptizing you the way you're supposed to after you've believed. right? The Catholics and others saw them as being people that would baptize people again. It's like, no, baby baptism is not biblical baptism, because you baptize who is a believer. And babies can't believe. And by the way, a lot of the Reformed groups continued to baptize what? Babies. Lutherans, Presbyterians, all of them, right? They were broken off from the Catholic Church, but they retained a lot of those things. They didn't break off entirely. Luther was the same way. So let's look at some of the example here. All of these are in the book of Acts. Looks like I have six that survived the cut here. But Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word, another way we could say that, those that believed the word, right, were baptized. This is the day of Pentecost here, but over 3,000 were added to them. Okay, they received the word and they were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because Jesus had commanded it, right? And they also understood, I believe, as part of the declaration of the gospel, that baptism pictured something, right? It's different than what Paul did, different than what Jesus did. The picture is, and it's different than the picture that John the Baptist did. They got baptized for different reasons. Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. What came first? Believed. You might want to underline believed just so you get that in here, right? Who was being baptized? Believers were being baptized. Now here's Acts 8 again. Now, Acts 8, we highlighted with the idea of the mass. So Jesus is my Savior. Notice the idea of belief in here too when I read this again. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. Now when they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded, by the way, is, not was. So there's even the implicit there. He's resurrected, right? There's a lot there. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he was baptized. By the way, again, he was teaching him what Isaiah 53 said. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading and he didn't understand it. Right? So he believed. Acts 16:14 and 15. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. Call it an Old Testament believer, maybe? Then the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So it says the Lord opened her heart to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. We would say that she believed what Paul had said. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. Remember, Paul and Silas were in jail? And the jailer, because Paul and Silas and others were in jail and it was locked up, what do you do at night? Sleep. What's the big deal, right? What are they going to do? They're behind locked doors. Okay, there's an earthquake and the doors flew open. He was going to kill himself because that's what the Romans would do, only make it worse. And Paul had hollered out and he says, he knew what was going to happen, or maybe even saw him out of the angle of the door or something. He goes, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here. Nothing has happened that you could get killed for," right? And he, the Philippian jailer, this is Acts 16:30 now, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, what do you think Paul and Silas were talking about and singing about in the jail? It wasn't about how tough life was. It was how wonderful God's salvation was. You know, and they happened to be there because they were preaching salvation, but they were still preaching it. They were teaching and preaching. Whoever was in the jail was getting an earful, and they were singing praises to God on top of it. And this Philippian jailer probably had a tough time sleeping because these guys are making so much racket. And he heard it all, and he had heard all pieces and bits and what was going on, and he understood even the term, sirs, what must I do to be what? Saved. What must I do to be saved? Right? What you've sung about and talked about. Tell me more. And they said, so they said, what? The five steps to becoming a Christian. Is that what they said? How many steps? One. How many can count to one? How many tracts have you read that have more than one step? Most tracts have more than one step. Now, there's things you have to understand, but there's only one thing you can do. And that's what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that's, when they say Lord Jesus Christ, they're identifying Him as deity, as Savior, as the promised one of God, Messiah, right? It's a loaded statement because he already understood what Lord Jesus Christ meant. They'd spent all night keeping him awake, talking about it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have to explain anymore because he'd heard it all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be what? Saved. That's the clearest statement and the clearest answer in all of the Bible. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then goes on to say this, you and your household. What they're saying here is not that when you're saved, your household will be saved too. They're saying the same thing applies to your household. All they have to do is believe and they'll be saved too. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. So they had a little service. He says, you need to come talk to the people in my home. Maybe it was near the jail. Right? Probably. But you need to come and tell them too. Come and explain it to them. If that's what it takes and Jesus is who he says, they need to know this too. In order for them to be saved. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. They'd been beaten, remember? And they were complaining about their stripes? No, they were sharing the gospel, having been beaten, right, in jail. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And some people say, uh-huh, see, the whole family. That proves the babies should be baptized. Because there's probably babies in that family. Not a good argument. And let me tell you why. And let's keep reading here. They immediately were baptized. They went ahead and did because they understood that believers were to be baptized. But notice what it says here. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced. What does it say at the end here? This is what tells us there were no babies in the house. Having believed in God with all his household. Maybe it was his parents. Maybe his brothers and sisters. You know, households were kind of extended at that time too. But there were no babies. Because they all believed. They had believed and therefore that's why they wanted to be baptized. Last one here under this point. Chapter 18 of Acts, verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were what? Baptized. What comes first? Belief. Baptism does nothing. It's a what? It's a picture. It's a statement that I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I'm part of Jesus and what's true of Jesus is now true of me. It's a picture of that, and it's a picture saying, because I've died and rose again, I'm not only a believer, I'm a behavior, I'm a follower. My conduct will be different. One other impact, and I think it's another reason to be baptized, is to be an example to others to openly follow Jesus. Baptism, for what it's worth, is a public declaration of your belief and your intent to behave. Not behave as in, you know, be good, but that you've been changed and therefore can behave and therefore will behave. It's a public declaration so that when people are getting baptized, you're encouraging others to openly follow Jesus too. It has that impact. One of the impacts of baptism is that usually other people then want to be baptized. It's not a bad thing. It encourages others to openly follow Jesus because you are being dunked in water as a picture to say, I believe in Jesus and I will behave for Jesus. To be an example of others to openly follow Jesus. Now, these are more general statements, but I believe it's true. This has that impact. Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example. When you're baptized, you're encouraging people to say, this is the right thing to do, and if you haven't done it, you need to do it too, if you're a believer in Jesus. You don't have to say that. It has that impact. This is the right thing to do. It's the obedient thing to do. And it's saying that I'm with Jesus. And it's saying I'm going to walk with Jesus. Follow my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. You're giving yourself as an example when you get baptized. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You became followers of us. Not as a separate entity, but we're following Jesus and you're following us as we follow Jesus. It's a pattern. And baptism serves that. When you're baptized, you're becoming someone that others can follow just by your example. 2 Thessalonians 3:9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. I know it sounds arrogant, maybe, but you need to live so that other people can follow you. And the first open declaration, the first thing, and notice, a lot of these people got baptized the time they were saved. That's how quick it should be. It shouldn't be a delay thing. You need to let people know you're a follower of Jesus. But then you're, by doing so, you're being an example of doing so. 2 Timothy 3:10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Your life should be one that could be followed by others and will be followed by others. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what baptism is saying. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. You can follow me because I'll be following Jesus. And then Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now that's talking about pastors, but it's the same idea. When you're up here, you're making a sermon in a picture form to declare to others that you need to follow Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus and you need to obey Jesus. Now, if you haven't been baptized, I have two questions for you. One is if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't, since this is just a picture, it just gets you wet. Sorry. It's a lousy bath. Right, we don't even give you soap. Right, it's not an effective bath. So I encourage you to consider believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you believe on the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, you are saved. If you don't believe, you are condemned. You need to get right with God. But number two, if you are saved, what is keeping you from obeying your Savior?
Because he said, that is what you need to do. You need to declare that you're a follower. And he uses the picture of baptism to do that. It's not hard. I've baptized people over 300 pounds before. I thought I was going to die when I did the river bear. But he got baptized because he was supposed to be baptized. But it's not hard. It goes so fast. Many of you got baptized as you were younger even, like I did. And it's good. I just hope you understand this. It helps to set you on solid feet as you go forward. But I encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, talk to me, because we're going to have a baptismal service soon. And there's no better time than now to obey Jesus and let people know that you're a believer. What has happened, if you will. That you're on the team, and that you're going to live like a person that's on Jesus' team. Right? And you'll encourage others by doing so. All right, let's pray, and then we'll take a short snack time and then come back in here. Okay, Father, thank you so much for baptism. It's an interesting picture. But Lord, it's something that clearly pictures us dying and rising with Jesus. Lord, it not only declares our belief in Jesus, but also declares, therefore, our newness in Jesus and our ability and intent to walk with Him. Help us to do that. Help us to fulfill the picture by walking in newness of life. And Lord, help us to understand that this is a step of obedience. And also, it falls in line with what the church has done for 2 millennia now. And also, Lord, that we can encourage other people to walk with you as well. Bless our fellowship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.